Number four.
I'm not gonna say it.
Do not tell me.
Go ahead.
Be very careful with your choice of words here.
In America, you have the freedom of speech. Also have the freedom to cook.
I'm very close to flaming you if this fourth choice is not.
Welcome back, everyone, to Check the Stats, your weekly sports podcast with Hamza, Deep,
Yo,
Harry.
What's good, everyone?
And Dodge.
How y'all doing?
So today we're going to pick back up on NBA free agency with the latest rumors around Kevin Durant being he might stay in Brooklyn because there's not an adequate trade package out there for him. What do you guys think about that?
I think that makes the most sense for the Nets as an organization, right? I mean, even though KD might want to leave, he's still a professional. I mean,
listen.
He can't just... He's not just going to leave.
Who's going to give you more than what Rudy Gobert got?
I'm not done. It's my time. Okay.
Listen.
He's going to stay. He's going to stay, most likely, if he doesn't get an adequate deal or trade from any other team. The Nets aren't going to lose him because who else are they going to get? Who are they going to get that are going to give him a higher chance of winning?
It's true. We said a few weeks ago that after that Rudy Gobert trade where you give up four first-round picks for a player of that caliber, what are you going to expect for Kevin Durant, who just signed a four-year deal, right? He's technically on contract for four more years. The Nets have the Nets have pretty much given or invested $300-plus million in Kevin Durant thus far in his Nets career, and he's only played about 90 games. And then after signing a four-year contract, he requests a trade. I don't know a lot of teams in the NBA that are trying to build a culture, right? Because, you know, that's what everybody wants nowadays, like the Warriors, like the Grizzlies, like the Celtics. They want a good culture. That's the way the league is going, not around these superstar teams, because of exactly what the Nets did. They kind of blew up. So no team wants to throw away pretty much their whole team, giving four picks, five picks, three, four players, you know, three, four swaps. I just don't think it's going to happen. The only team I could see that has the assets to do that is probably the Raptors and the Warriors.
Yo, KD everybody, to the Warriors?
Everybody first said when there were Warrior rumors about acquiring Durant again that his cap's guy, they don't want to mess up the culture, but Steph Curry technically didn't say no to them being open to Kevin Durant rejoining, and I think the GM of the Warriors didn't rule out the possibility of that. So what are you guys' thoughts on Durant rejoining the Warriors? And they would have to blow up the team.
You would lose Poole, you would lose Kuminga,
Moody, and Wiseman.
They're going to lose everyone if they wanted KD back. But, I mean, then that's asking for a high price. That's not going to happen.
It's not that much of a market. That's why I'm asking you, because that's one of the teams in the small market for KD is the Warriors.
It's not going to happen, though.
You don't think there's even a 10% chance?
It's not gonna happen. The Nets will just keep rumors right now.
The Warriors, the Heat, the Suns, and the Raptors.
Where they're asking for outrageous.
Those are the only four teams that have any interest in Kevin Durant.
And how will they afford him?
Who? The Warriors?
Any team.
That's what I said. You pretty much have to blow up the entire roster. I think last week I said the Pelicans were an option, but I don't think anymore they would be interested in that. You know, they have a good young core, pretty much three all-stars and good role players. I don't think they want to mess with that. So realistically, yes, there are probably only three to four teams who want to get Kevin Durant. And when that news broke that he wanted a trade, everybody was like, all right, 20 teams are going to try to get him, right? And those were the rumors that first came out that every team in the league is going to try to put a package. But the Nets are so dumb. They want an insane haul that pretty much no team in the league wants to make. So they're pretty much going to make Durant stay on the team he doesn't want to be at.
And they can.
Which is totally in their right. But you're going to make a star player like that be someone they don't want to be. And then let's say he ends up playing, you know, the beginning of the season. How committed will he be to the team? You know, how much would he want to be there? And how much are the other, players on the Nets, how are they feeling about this? That, this guy is not 100% bought in right now. And then... Where do you go from there? How do you build? How do you expect to make a championship run? Let's say they retain Kevin Durant and Kyrie. How do you expect to make a championship run with all this offseason buzz? I think it's done. I think the Nets have to suck it up and just, you're not going to get what you originally thought you could get for Kevin Durant.
And your boy said he's staying on the Nets no matter what.
That was going to be my next topic.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving, there was a single report on the New York Post that someone close to Kyrie has said that he wants to stay in Brooklyn regardless of Durant leaving. So,
yeah.
If that's true.
Is he manipulating the media? Is that what it is?
I mean, maybe. Kyrie's gotten so much hate for a lot of things. Maybe he wants to be on the good side for once.
The thing is, he is a hometown kid, and he did say in the seasons past that he wants to stay here. He wants to win 50, 60 games. He wants to win a championship in Brooklyn. You know, I could believe that he wants to stay in Brooklyn. You know, that's it's where he's from.
Whether KD stays or leaves.
But I think,
specifically.
But the front office has ruined their relationship to, I think, a point beyond return. I think he's gone. I think he's going to Lakers. I think there's a 15% chance he stays in the Nets. 15.
Okay.
After all this drama, they didn't want to offer him a long-term contract.
I have a question
basically
about that.
Your front office doesn't believe in you. How do you want to stay with that? The Lakers clearly want him.
I
would go there.
How?
How what?
How will
Lakers?
They get him? Yeah, how will they get him?
You give up Westbrook. You give up maybe THT. And the Nets give up Kyrie and Joe Harris. The salaries match up.
So
if you don't want to do Joe Harris and THT, you could give Russ for Kyrie and a first-round pick from the Lakers.
What happened to putting Westbrook back on the team and making sure that he plays his role, according to the new coach?
You're talking about Westbrook stays on the Lakers and Kyrie stays, right?
It looks like he's gonna stay on the Lakers.
If it's
they're
one of the two.
They're not winning a championship. The Lakers are not winning a championship with Russell Westbrook on the team.
Well, LeBron's not talking to Russ, or Russ not talking to LeBron.
That's what I'm saying.
Court, so
yeah, summer league.
I think that situation is beyond repair as well. I don't think
summer league. They went to the games, right? And sat on opposite sides of the court.
What stars have ever done that on a team together? Show up to like their team's game and they don't even acknowledge each other, especially like two players of their status. I think Russ has wanted to show that he's still a good professional. You know, like he showed up to the game, support the young players. I think he's just trying to show, you know, like good PR so he gets traded out of there. Because right now there's really no market for him. It's just the Nets, and that's if they want to do a swap.
Shanghai Sharks, baby.
I don't think they're going to do.
Nah, he's not going to China yet.
So a lot of conflicting reports coming out every week or two. This doesn't look like it's going to be resolved anytime soon. This might drag on through training camp, through maybe the first few weeks or months of the season. I mean,
I doubt KD's going to leave.
The Nets,
or they're going to let KD leave.
The Nets are playing very, very hard ball right now. It's a dangerous game.
In October, and they're just going to be in the same jerseys.
One of the two are going to leave, but both won't.
The roster is there, man. The roster is there. Curry, Harris, Claxton, all these guys, Royce O'Neal, but I just think the culture is ruined. When your front office doesn't want to retain two superstars.
Your coach is doing TikToks.
I think it's over. Don't even get me started on Steve Nash, bro. Let's talk about something else related to the NBA. NBA commissioner Adam Silver had his, I don't know what it is. He usually has like these one or two events during the year where he talks to like the masses, right? He said that he wants to review and he wants to change the rules around players requesting trades. And I think it mostly has to do with KD's situation. A player of KD's caliber requesting a trade with 4 years on his contract is like never before seen kind of stuff. And it kind of messed up the entire free agency because all the teams are kind of in a stalemate because they don't know where he's going to go and they don't want to trade anything because nobody knows what's going to happen. And Silver and I believe all the owners around the league want to bring back control to the front office and the owners. They don't want these players to control the organizations anymore. Look at the Lakers. They won one championship in the bubble, and then now it looks like LeBron and AD can't work together. Just them two are not good enough to win a championship. KD and Kyrie, who teamed up superstars and kind of kind of helped run the organization. It's looked out to be a disaster. Kawhi and PG so far is a disaster.
Kind of.
So far. So they far didn't play
they I mean, they're just not playing.
They just didn't play.
Same thing though, right?
This,
same problem.
This is why these owners, I feel like now Adam Silver is speaking up about all these players requesting trades. You know, Ben Simmons, just like we saw Harden, like we saw all these players requesting trades. And yeah, the businesses and the organizations have the right to trade the players. Like, you know, like.
It's a contract.
But you sign a contract and they want contract, you, you know, contract. They want you to.
You got
to
hold it. Hold up your end.
And in one of his statements, Silver said that he's had to convince NBA players to play basketball, like to stop worrying about other stuff, contract stuff, off the court stuff. And he's had to convince professionals to continue playing the game.
Continue doing their job.
That's just the state, I think, of the NBA now, with just player empowerment. I do think it's gone a step too far. We're seeing probably like 6 to 7 big, big stars change teams and like hold organizations hostage every single year. What do you guys think? You guys think Silver is right to want to put some more rules on players requesting trades? Or do you think this player empowerment
is right? What are they going to do though? Realistically, like what are they going to, what is
contract,
it?
He's saying, can't really
Silver says there should be some sort of like agreement between the player and the team. Like as a player, you can't just like when the running goes bad, you can't just like jump ship. You should have some sort of conversation with the team because they're putting so many securities and guarantees on these players. Their organization can be like kind of ruined, corrupted if one of the major components leave. And it makes sense. I agree with him.
I mean, I agree.
There should be some sort of.
But
what can you do?
What are they going to do?
You have to put it into the contract. You have to put it into the contract.
So maybe something new. It's like something.
Probably basically like most likely like crazy fines or suspensions.
They had to put no trade clauses basically or like stuff like that. Like. If they try to go too harsh, if they try to go too harsh, then it might push the players even farther away than from like you know respecting the owners and organizations. Yeah, so they have to be. I think they have to be very very careful of how they.
They might do what the NFL did, and not guarantee contracts. Because in NFL, if you leave, you don't get that some of that money.
NFL or Roger Goodell is not telling. He's not trying to convince players you to keep playing football. Keep playing football. If an NFL player. And is not trying to play the game.
He's
gonna get cut.
He's gone.
They're replaceable, and that's not the deal in the NBA. If these players are not wanting to play, it's just like okay, sorry, we'll trade you to where you want to go. You know, don't worry. Like this is, I feel like that's not right. As much as it's fun to see as fans, you know,
as
superstars changing teams every year.
It's all drama, but like
it's
the
hard.
Contracts have been
it's hard to
like
build
they
a. It's hard to build a culture now in the NBA. And that's what all these teams are trying to be like. That they're trying to build a culture again.
See, I think the other side of this is that the owners also wanted at some point to be free enough to wheel and deal players
as they want.
And it wasn't like that before. So when they got what they wanted, and now the players are kind of like. Now the players are in control of the same rules that the owners made. Now it's unfair for the organizations. You know what I mean? It's just going to be a swinging back and forth of power. Now it's going to go back to the owners for a little bit.
It's
true. Come back to the players.
Yeah. You could definitely say that, you know, you want the players to have all the power they want. You know, they should. They're making all this money. They're bringing in the views and the revenue. But at the same time, every college sport, and its professional counterpart, the pro league has better ratings. College hockey compared to the NHL, NHL way better ratings. NFL and college football, NFL playoffs, good ratings. But March Madness versus the NBA, the playoff ratings actually this year and the past few years, they've been going down every single year. Mm-hmm. And that's because all these superstars are not playing. Ben Simmons, Harden, Kyrie, KD, Westbrook, all these guys have been requesting trades and leaving teams. The ratings are going down. That's the only thing in my eyes is that the actual ratings are showing that fans are getting turned off by this player empowerment. But it's a tricky situation. It's a very tricky situation. There's no one solution.
Because if a player really wants out, he should be able to leave, right?
And a business should be able to be wanting to
at the end of the day
engage in conversations about, you know,
if you put yourself in a situation and you're getting paid and you request money to be in that situation, right? You're signing that contract. You're making a promise that I will do whatever it is in my power to the best of my power to play. And if I don't play, I don't get paid. So the thing is, as players,
That's not what Kyrie said.
As players, unfortunately, they still expect to be played even if they don't play. But as owners, why if you even if like, if we're a construction worker, if your construction worker is not working, why would you pay him, right? He's not building anything for you. If your plumber is not coming to your house, why do you need to pay your plumber? If your point guard is not playing, why do you need to pay him then?
Their name.
It's a contract.
Their name.
But if they're not playing.
But I'm still
signed. Right?
I'll be the devil's advocate here. Their name. Their name, like players like KD, players like LeBron.
So just pay him just because of how good they used to be. Like Harden.
Their name, how much attention they bring.
Like Kyrie. Or
we can't say
or Westbrook.
Harden,
yeah. No, or John Wall.
I was pissed off when he left.
All these guys. No, I'm just saying, for example.
John Wall, he got
Kawhi Leonard,
bag
PG.
Out of the Rockets, right?
Yeah.
What did he do there?
Nothing.
But nothing.
It wasn't his decision to not play. The Rockets sat him out.
But then they paid him.
Year.
So what I'm saying is,
because it's
at the end
contract,
of the day,
you can't do anything about the contract. That's been signed. So that's what Silver is saying, that these contracts are going to start changing.
I think
going to start changing about the contract.
They're going to make the contracts not guaranteed.
You guys
for sure.
You guys literally just like describe the whole situation. Like that's what it is right now. Is that
they're
getting paid because they can sit out and do whatever they want. They're going to get paid regardless.
So saying that there's too much power to the players right now. Unfortunately,
that's what Silver wants.
It's like
to change.
That.
In most sports, American sports and international sports, the owners do have and the clubs do have the most power, and that's how it should be. These players are ranging from like 25 to like 32 years old, 35 years old, who are requesting trades. How do you expect them to know more about the business and more about how to run something than the owner or GM who's been there for like 20 years, 30 years? They know more about how to run that organization, so they should have more power.
But I think
a player should still have power. Okay, I think we're kind of going in circles here. So.
They don't want to be there. Though.
Let's see.
We'll
how,
see what
see
happens
how,
in this situation.
What they implement. And talking about new rules, the take foul. The NBA has ruled to take away the take foul and kind of make it like European league rules. So when everybody was watching the Olympics, I believe a year ago, maybe two, when the USA team was kind of, you know, getting shown up by these foreign teams, and everybody's like, oh my god, the foreign players have caught up to the NBA players' skill level and all this, right? And the USA team wasn't all A-list stars. It was pretty much KD, Dame. You know, those were the biggest names. And then it was, I think, Tatum and Draymond, the other people. But people were saying that, oh, they're catching up to our skill level. And then you see that the rules are completely different in those games. There's no...
More fundamental
stopping,
basketball.
There's no stopping the fast break like you can do in the NBA these past few years. When LeBron or KD or Giannis is on a full speed fast break, you can just
tap
any random player can just grab their arm or grab their hip and it's a foul. And then all it does is stop the momentum. It kind of kills the crowd buzz and it's just a side out. So now the NBA has changed the rule to being if you just intentionally foul a player when they're running on in a fast break situation or transition, that team will get one free throw and the ball back. In EuroLeague rules, it's two free throws, but the NBA did one. So I think it's going to change the pace of the game. You can't just stop momentum changes like that because fast breaks are momentum changers.
Yeah.
A dunk on a fast break, an open three on a fast break, 2-on-1, 3-on-1, you know? Those are the stuff that kind of changes momentum in games. So I think it's a really, really good rule change. I believe we spoke about it before, maybe a month or two ago. What do you guys think?
What's going to deem a take foul, though? Is that not going to be another?
I mean,
anything that would be a take foul. I mean, there's a certain criteria for a take foul.
It's pretty much a take foul or a clear path foul. So, I mean, it's any foul in the open court, basically.
Well, last year?
Unless it's a shooting foul, it was pretty much a take foul because you weren't in the bonus and it would just be a side out. So, I think it'll tremendously change the game.
I'm excited for it.
You're taking away the 3-point basically from transition, because as soon as like most of them foul by like half court line, So you'll take it. You're taking that away.
I don't know if
but it has
more
to
than
be,
three. It's those harsh, entertaining right? moments
I
where, like, you got
opposite.
A LeBron down the lane dunk.
Yeah, I understand that. But you're also taking away from the other team.
I think it's going to add more transition threes because when you're going 2-on-1,
yeah, no,
when you're going 2-on-1 and 3-on-1 and then they stop it, obviously you can't score. So now it's going to be that 2-on-1, 3-on-1. They're going to pass out and it's going to be an open, like, corner three on the fast break, which is just how it should be because you don't want to just stop the best athletes in the – the NBA is the best 1% of basketball players in the entire world. You don't want these superstars to just be stopped. Like, you want to see, the fans want to see these players going full speed, going downhill. You know, like, that's the most entertaining part of the game.
Also, so it gives a chance to the other team. I mean, that's taking away a full opportunity. It's almost like a pen now.
Yeah, I think
basically.
I think every
compared to soccer, though, that would be
I think every year they're making a new rule, and, and they're good rules, I think. I think the NBA. I think the NBA
to make the game more entertaining.
I think NBA's been good about, you know, always staying up to date and always changing for the good and stuff like that. So
last year there were too many take fouls.
You can notice it, man. You can notice it in the biggest games when you're, like in the finals, like Steph Curry and Jordan Poole or Wiggins would be on the fast break and you would just see Tatum or Brown just grab their arm and take a take foul and that's an extra foul for your star player. And then it just stops all the momentum.
During the season, there were a couple of them where it were aggressive take fouls, and it just looked like they were playing football out there.
And it would just be a side out.
Side out. No consequence for it. Now there's at least some sort of way to, like, not, you know, incentivize it.
All fouls went to Harden. You would know that.
They made a rule change based on Harden.
You would
good
know
job.
That. Yeah, they made they're about to make a rule change because of KD, too. It's okay.
Yeah.
And Kyrie.
Yeah.
Everybody's gonna stay on their own team. That's the conclusion.
You think so?
Everybody signed. It's done.
No team. No
it's
team.
Done.
No more.
Everybody
trades.
Said
no
run
more
it back.
Trades. No more trades.
No more trades. This is not gonna happen. It's just drama at this point.
We'll see. We'll definitely keep you guys up to date.
Going into next season, who's your top five point guards?
So, my number one, I think, is Steph. Then we're gonna go to Luka. Then I don't know. I'm kind of debating either putting LaMelo or Trey, but Jaw's definitely up there too. But you have to give honorable mention to Chris Paul. I think that's right now going into 2022. I'm not saying that they're gonna have the best years, but going into 2022-23 season, those are the top five point guards in the league.
You said Curry, Luka, LaMelo, Trey, Chris Paul.
Chris Paul was
Jaw. I put LaMelo, only the top two. Top two really just, you know, but like the rest, I'd put like Trey a little above Ja and LaMelo just because of how long he's been there as a point guard.
Yeah,
this is a
really good point guard.
He's averages a double-double almost.
It's insane. I think he's underrated. I do agree with you.
So.
Okay, that's a good list. Hamza?
Russell Westbrook. Patty Mills.
He said definitely not. At least he knows. All right, so who's your top five?
At number one, I got Steph. Number two, if he plays, for the love of God, he signed his contract, he opted in, Kyrie Irving.
We're talking about going into 2022. I'm not, like I said.
So? 23.
Like I said.
What happened to Kyrie?
Like I said.
Nothing.
This is not.
This is based off stats.
This is day one of
what's
the 22-23 regular season.
Based off
day one, who were the top 5 point guards? That's what we're doing right now.
Based off of him dropping or averaging 25 points per game, even though playing 55 games, just like KD and Shaq. If he plays, number three, Damian Lillard. I think he's going to have a great comeback. He was injured last season. We didn't see anything of him. Number four.
Go ahead.
Be very careful with your choice of words here.
In America, you have the freedom of speech. We also have the freedom to cook.
I'm very close to flaming you if this fourth choice is not adequate.
Or Luka.
So right now, Hamza has Curry, Doncic. No, he has Curry, Kyrie, and Dame so far. Number four is?
There's a lot of names going through my head. But I don't know who deserves number four. Jokic.
All right.
At number four.
MVP.
Right. Average
but
triple doubles
I'll
and assists.
That.
And they got some new additions. Number five.
So you're just not going to put Luka in there?
Yeah, it's crazy.
After what he just did?
John Morant.
John Morant, number five?
Yeah.
Interesting.
According
it's
to
a
him,
very
he's,
interesting top five.
According to him, he's Black Jesus and he can do everything.
Yeah, he's been talking too
his
much.
His confidence up.
His words.
Nobody got more confidence than 12.
All right.
If he's really that confident, and I'm really shaky about it, I'm not even sure. Luka's right there, though.
That's
Luka's
true.
Right there. It's either him or Luka in fifth. I'll be honest.
Okay. That's a respect.
And,
that's a respectable top five.
Was the name you wanted to say Westbrook?
Almost there.
At least he had a little bit
he's
of
in, he's in top 10.
Okay, all right. Dodge?
Maybe 12.
Thought his top five is.
I know a bunch is gonna get like a. I can't say that. No, hold on. All right, I'm gonna go with one being Luka because though he lost, he was playing with Brunson, right? Like who else did he have?
Yeah.
Right. But he did a lot for his team.
Yeah, Christian Wood.
Two.
At the end.
Two. I'm gonna put Steph because that was his worst. Like he was in a slump, kind of, and then he still got Finals MVP because he balled out. Three. I'm gonna put John Morant because his the buzz around him, even though they lost, the buzz around him is still wild. I think he has enough confidence. His like play style is just crazy. What is that? Three, four? Is that three or four?
Pretty sure that's three, buddy.
All right. At four, I'm gonna put Dame because I feel like Dame before his injury and before last season, he was balling. I feel like
yeah, Dame time.
Exactly. He was going
off.
Put
some respect on Dame time for sure.
And fifth and final, but not least, I'm going to say LaMelo Ball. Because, bro, what he does as a, what he's done as a rookie, come on. You can't say he hasn't made like some of these like really like veteran point guards, like just teams. Like he knows how to navigate. Played overseas, got his bags. He has a deep bag. That's what I meant.
Yet to make the playoffs.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay, but.
So your five was Luka, Curry, Dame, Ja, and LaMelo.
Yeah.
No Harden?
I want to say Harden, and I do believe that even if he's a fraction of himself.
Wow, he's self-aware.
But based off of last year, I can't say he's top five right now.
Nice.
Maybe if he rehabs from his injury.
He's going to get a lot of assists properly. From Embiid.
And P.J. Tucker.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Can't forget.
So nobody gonna criticize PJ Tucker for joining Sixers after losing to them in the
No, we're
lost.
We're gonna ignore that. He's not good enough.
PJ Tucker and PJ Tucker and James Harden.
They were seen with each other. He's a game changer, bro.
With Embiid as well.
He's a champ.
Oh my god. Yo, please, Sixers. Yo, Sixers.
And finally, I'm going to tell you guys my top five.
Oh, shit.
Mr. Kyrie Irving.
Number one. The best point guard in the league right now is Luka Doncic. He is number one. As a pure point guard, passing, shooting. Nowadays, a point guard, you know, they can do everything. He can rebound, you know. So, Luka, number one, carried his team. Number two, Steph Curry. Had a great, great playoff run. Had a little bit of a slump, but had some vital 30-point games.
This
so right now, Curry.
Finals MVP, baby.
This is a day one of the regular season. This is who the best point guards are. So okay. Luka 1, Curry 2. I'm going to say Kyrie Irving number 3. Just off pure skill, you can't tell me he's not up there with everybody. So 3, Kyrie Irving. 4, Damian Lillard. Very, very good. He's certified. We all know what Dame can do. And number 5, I want to say Ja Morant, but I'm going to say Trae Young number 5. I think if Trae Young was on that Grizzlies squad, I think they would have gone the same place that they would have gone with Ja. That's what I think. And I think if you put any of these point guards on that Grizzlies team, they would have done exactly what Ja did. That's a really, really good Grizzlies team. So Ja is good, but I need to see, you know, a few more years of him playing at that level. Trae Young has been averaging a double-double for pretty much 2 seasons. So we need to put some respect on his name. So Trae Young, number 5.
So what
Dame
about
4, Kyrie 3, Curry 2, and Luka number 1. I think that's the best list here, but I'm going to let you guys, listeners, decide who had the best list. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We're going to be making a poll on our social media accounts at CheckTheStat5 on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Please go vote on our polls for our top 5 point guard lists. As always, we hope you guys enjoyed. Peace.
Deuces.
Bye.